All right. Is this working? Yeah. Okay. All right. So where'd that remote go? Gracias. Okay. So we're just going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay. So just go ahead and follow with me. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, there's a key word there that spoke out to me as I was reading this. Can anybody take a crack at it? What you guys think it might be, that key word?
Foreigners.
Wow. Got it on the first try.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so, why do you think Peter chose to use foreigners as the word to describe? Who do you think he's talking to in this passage here, in this very first passage? True believers, right? Christians, us, pretty much, right? So why would he use foreigners as that word? This is not our home. It says it in, it's verse 2 already? Okay, well, what, is it 2 Corinthians?
It's in there.
Okay. Yeah, let me just pass all these real quick. Is it still way down there? Okay. All right, it's in Corinthians 5:20. It says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. So God is making us his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In Philippians 3:20, it says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So that just proves that we are foreigners, right? Now, it says in the second verse of Peter, going back to there. Okay, second verse, it says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So, long ago, God chose you. Now, that's not to say, where's Alan? Okay. It's not to say God said, oh, I like Alan's name better, spelled it better than Alan's name, so that Alan's going to go to heaven. This one's just going to stay down here in hell. So, that's not to say that. You guys actually choose to become foreigners whenever you accept Christ into your lives. You guys choose to become different. So, in verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectations, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No. Okay, 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. In 6, it says, so be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. So, whenever we're having to endure trials, what should we be?
Rejoice.
We should rejoice, right? It says to be truly glad up there, right? Why do you guys think we need to be truly glad whenever there's trials coming?
Time for growth.
It's time for growth, right? What kind of growth?
Spiritual,
right? So, like I used this example earlier in Sunday school, and it's a crude example, but it's just what came to my mind at first. Like, when you lose your mother, you're not going to be like, yay, trial, right? No, I mean, yes, you're going to be sad, you're going to mourn, but there's a, excuse me, yeah, still recovering from, okay, anyways, you're not going to be all jolly and happy, you're going to, you're going to be sad, but you should be optimistic and say, you know what, this is God's way for me to grow, this is a trial, and I know at the end of this, I'm going to grow, I'm going to be you know, yeah, grown. More Christ-like. Okay, so seven. Okay, in seven it says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So this just proves that if we face trials and we, you know, pass them with our, you know, we're going to grow from them. Just like fire purifies gold, as it says here, but our faith is much more precious than gold. So, yeah, be more Christ-like. I have a point right now. Excuse me. Okay, here's something about trust. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So here's something that actually Jordan just mentioned that, you know, kind of got me thinking, and I'm going to add this to that. Whenever we had that six-hour-long conversation, I trusted Jordan to tell me the truth, right? You know, you trust people whenever. You trust somebody, you expect them to tell you the truth, right? So I trusted Jordan to be telling me the right things about God, and I trusted God for him to be real. And when I trusted God and gave my life to him, I trusted that he would save my soul. So just like you guys, I mean, yeah, you guys have to trust him just like I did. We all do as a whole. We're going to be in 13 through 16 now. It says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, excuse me, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So, one thing that Jordan pointed out to me was, whenever we get saved, you know, and we trust God, we tend to sometimes back away when life is good, right? We tend to back away from our faith whenever life is good and there's no trials happening, right? That's actually just us wanting to go back to our comfort zone, and God doesn't let us stay in our comfort zone at all. We chose to be foreigners, so guess what we are right now? We're out of our comfort zone. So we need to live that way, out of our comfort zone. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. That's the flesh wanting to go back to its comfort zone. But you, since you have been born again because you got saved, you need to battle that and say, no, this is not what the Bible says for me to do. The Bible doesn't say for me that it's okay to kill. It's actually wrong. I mean, crude example again, but I'm just, yeah, nervous. Excuse me.
Sometimes we get an idea in our mind that what we're doing right now is a sacrifice within itself, so why should God ask me to do any more?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that in Sunday school. You want to say something, Aaron? I set him up.
We talked about this morning, and what we was talking about, you get in your comfort zone, and I brought it up to Jordan and Alan this morning, is and a lot of people think their comfort zone Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And it's repetitious. Every Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I'm going to church Sunday morning, go Wednesday afternoon, I got it made. And you know, right there in verse 14, it says, don't slip back. If you just continue Wednesday morning, or Wednesday night, Sunday morning, you're in that comfort zone, God's going to throw something at you. Because, I mean, you're not trying to grow. You think just because we're going Sunday morning, Wednesday night, they throw trials at you all the time. It does it to me, my wife, my kids. I mean, they're going to throw something at you to try to get you where you're not going. But you'll get in that groove, and you think you're doing the right things. But just because you're going Sunday morning, you're not growing. You got to take the extra time to do something else, read more, study more, and continue on. You got got to grow more. Because being in that comfort zone, you will slip back.
Amen.
And you guys travel so far to come to church anyway, right? So you guys are sacrificing. You're doing all this for God, right?
And we do. And it's, you know, sometimes like 50 miles one way, you know. Is it worth it? Wouldn't change it.
Amen. Okay. 22 to 23. Actually, I'm going to read because I'm going to read 17 all the way just to 23, I believe it is, because Lexi pointed out that this is the gospel. So she believes it's important, and I'll let her add her things to that. I will try and add something to it. So in verse 17, it says, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed to you. He has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, and it comes from the eternal, living word of God, as the scriptures say. People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Word of the Lord remains forever. Okay, so you want to add something to that, Lexi?
Yeah, I just...
Absolutely. How bad do you think we would be right now if Jesus had never come to die for us? Be worse, people. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. Something, this little quote that Peter says, I don't think I have it up there. But it says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. When you think about it, it actually, like, it speaks to me like, people are like grass. How long does grass live? Just not very long, really. How long? And their beauty is like a flower in the field. How long does a flower live? Not very long either, right? So people don't live very long. It's our duty that we became foreigners and we're growing and trusting God that we must get people in here and bring them to the cross, because if we don't, then it's just going to be longer for Christ to come back. And yeah, we got to spread that word, guys. That's just pretty much all to support the first verse. That right there. Oh, nothing I said. Okay.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. That's all I got. So, yeah. Take too long.
No, you didn't take long enough. No. Okay. Billy's not there. So, I'm going to do an illustration to kind of illustrate what he was just saying. Alan pointed out the fact that Alan, right?
Yeah.
Pointed out the fact that We have to trust in God through the trials and through the seasons, which is going right along with what Brother Allen's been preaching, right? Through Ecclesiastes, as God is forcing us to go through the seasons. And Alan Q stated that grass withers, flowers fade. And if you think about it, if you put the two together, the thoughts together from Ecclesiastes to what he's talking about in 1 Peter, the grass withers, the flowers fade. Those things do not go through the seasons. Those things start and stop with the seasons. If we're an attempt trying to stick with what we're doing and trying to stay in our comfort zone, we're getting the attitude that what we're doing is good enough and we just want to stay the flower, right? We just want to stay there and God is pushing us into the next season. The word of the Lord is the only thing that remains through those things. So what is it that we need to be stirring up within us? What's the only thing within us that's actually going to last? It's the Christ-likeness part. It's the word of the Lord, right? So that's the only thing that's going to transition us through those seasons. But it's hard whenever we do have trials. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school that, you know, these people that Peter's writing to are being fed to the lions. And they're being burned alive. And so there's a story about one of the faithful church planters in the book of Revelation where it talks about the churches in the first few chapters. One of the faithful church planters, I'm having a hard time remembering right now, but he was actually martyred by the Caesar at the time by being stuffed inside of a bronze pig. Okay, he was stuffed inside of a bronze pig and they lit a fire underneath it and he was cooked alive. So when Revelation speaks, and I'm sorry, I don't remember I just thought of this morning as we were talking about it. Like, this is what they're dealing with. Cooked alive inside of a bronze pig for your faith in Christ. Because you are stating that there was a man named Jesus who was God in the flesh, and he was promising all of these things. Because of that, they are having trials. And so we go through our time periods in our lives where God's trying to push us along, and the only frame of reference that we have is the things we've experienced or the things that we've seen. And we tend to think that we should have it better than we do. Kind of like, you know, what Aaron was saying. And Jane and Scott, you know, they travel so far to come to church every Sunday and Wednesday. And then you think, you kind of get down in your thinking, right? And then you start getting a little bit more critical about things, right? You start wishing things were better than they were. And now every little trial that comes our way is just added to our pile of negative thinking. When God is using these things to force us into a willingness to obey him, which is exactly what Alan did this morning, right? Amen. Was that not a move forward? Was that not a confidence in the Lord to move forward in his faith? I mean, that's exactly what we need, isn't it? So I want to illustrate that this morning by picking somebody out of, okay, Melissa. I would like you to come forward on this end. I'm going to illustrate this. I've done this before, so the students have seen this before. Some of you may have seen it as well. Don't ruin it, please. I want this to be just like it never happened. Okay, Melissa, do you trust me?
Not right now.
I don't blame her. Where is my wife? Okay. I want you to stand right here. Watch out. Right here. Do you trust me?
Yes.